Current State on 90.5 WKAR. Welcome back. I'm Mark Bayshore. Glad you could join us here for Wednesday's program. Detroit Emergency Manager Kevin Orr continues to promote his plan to rescue the Motor City from bankruptcy. Yesterday in Ann Arbor, Mr. Orr referred to the possibility of a DIA yard sale, the Detroit Institute of Arts, of course. That's if local foundations had not committed $365 million to help protect art at the DIA. The Free Press quotes Mr. Orr as saying, "If you don't think that can happen, there are many sovereign, wealthy Russian oligarchs, Brazilian millionaires, who are calling and inquiring about the art." Orr is trying to get more creditors to back his $815 million plan that he says would prevent the sale of the art and reduce cuts in pensions to city workers and retirees. At the top of our program here today, across Michigan and across the country, students, teachers, and school administrators are facing greater accountability. That's put more attention on student assessments, measuring student learning. Now, this Friday, educators from around the country will gather here at Michigan State University to talk about assessment. The day-long Revisioning Assessment Conference will review what's being tried, how it's working, and what remains to be done. Dr. Rick Stiggins, a Michigan State graduate, has been a leading figure in student assessments for a couple of decades. He'll speak at Friday's gathering. Late yesterday, I spoke with Stiggins about educational assessments and accountability and first asked him to share a bit of what he's seeing.
Well, there's nothing new about the accountability movement. I think people need to understand that this has been going on for decades. It began back in the 1960s with district-wide testing programs, and then in the 1970s we added statewide testing programs, and in the 80s, national assessment program, in the 90s, international assessment programs, and now we're doing national every pupil exams with $500 million new tests being rolled out in the next few weeks. So the accountability movement certainly isn't new, but it continues to attract lots of attention. These are the assessments whose scores attract media attention and concern. And accountability is important. I mean, schools are public institutions, and the community is entitled to information about how students are achieving. So we do a lot of it, have done a lot of it for a long time.
Certainly, since your company was founded in 92, there's been an increase in accountability for teachers. Is this a good thing?
Yes, it absolutely is a good thing. I've always believed that that student achievement should be considered in the evaluation of the extent to which teachers perform as they should on the job. It's their job. The tricky part is the currently popular practice of defining student growth in terms of scores and annual achievement tests, annual accountability tests. That's not acceptable. Those tests are not validated for that purpose. There are a wide variety of at least a dozen different reasons why that definition of student growth is just flat unacceptable. But we do have other ways to track student achievement in ways that allow teachers to demonstrate the impact of their instruction on the achievement of their students. And that's what I advocated in my work. And it's based on evidence coming from the classroom level of assessment. There are certain ways that we can conduct those kinds of assessments that will give us credible information, credible evidence on a teacher's impact on students. And I think that's a good direction to go.
Are students aware of this trend toward greater accountability? Because it sounds to me like the classroom is becoming a more stressful place. Candidly, I mean, are students aware of this, and is greater accountability changing how students and teachers interact?
I think I think there is more stress for students in this enterprise. The place where that's most graphically illustrated is at the time of college admissions testing, where people are spending literally millions and millions of dollars every year for test prep courses for the SAT and ACT, and this increasing pressure on students is a source of considerable anxiety. anxiety and family anxiety, frankly. And I think that level of stress is unhealthy. The other level of stress for younger students is that people need to be aware of is that when we're talking about district-wide, statewide, national, international testing, and now this national every pupil examination stuff with ever tougher tests, it places students under immense stress, pressure day to day in the classroom. I mean, there are places where students spend 30 or 40 days a year out of 180 days of school year taking tests, and that's inordinate. That's overkill, and the stress that results is increasing, and I think that's an unhealthy thing.
Michigan is expected to move to the smarter, balanced assessment next year. What do you make of this proposed change?
A few reactions to that. First, before I respond, I need to be clear about the fact that my world centers on the classroom level of assessment and not these large-scale standardized tests. So my information base about the actual tests themselves is very, very limited. What I do hear in my network is that the tests are raising achievement expectations 2 to 3 grade levels in each of the academic disciplines. This is a little bit troubling to me because what we're doing here is trying to draw school improvement out by raising the test standards without providing any of the scaffolding day-to-day in the classroom that'll prepare teachers and students to attain the new higher levels of achievement.
Mm.
It's sort of like putting the horse before the cart here. I'm the cart before the horse, because what we're doing is using the test as the vehicle to force or compel or intimidate school improvement. I don't think that's a healthy practice. The other thing I do know, though, is that the assessment exercises and scoring schemes that are going to be used in these tests are much more sophisticated, much more complex. They move us beyond our national decades-long obsession with multiple choice test items. It's not that multiple choice is wrong. It's just that it severely limits the array of things that can be tested. And I think these new tests are going to be testing a wide variety of things not assessed before: reasoning proficiencies, performance skills, and things along those lines that are critical parts of the skills students need for the 21st century. So that's a good thing, I think.
Teachers administer their fair share of tests. From your experience, Rick Stiggins, are educators knowledgeable enough about the nuts and bolts of assessments?
No, typically not. Now, I'm going to answer this once again from a national perspective, because I've not been a specific student of what's been happening in this regard in the state of Michigan, although I'd like to be. I think it's an interesting question. First of all, people need to understand that typical teacher will spend as much as a quarter to a third of her or his available professional time involved in assessment-related activities. If they know what they're doing, there are no problems. If they don't, there are severe problems. Well, it is the case across the country that even today in 2014, teacher preparation programs often lack the assessment literacy training teachers need to do their jobs in this regard. And lest we believe that new teachers can turn to their principals for help in this regard, let's be clear about the fact that relevant, helpful assessment training remains almost non-existent in leadership, pre-service leadership preparation programs in education across the country. So, no, typically people have not been given the opportunity to develop the assessment literacy they need to use the smarter balance assessment results effectively, or to generate their own local classroom assessments in ways that assure the accuracy of the results and the effectiveness of their use. So this is a major gap in the professional competence of American education, and it's something that needs to be addressed urgently.
How do you feel about basing teachers' salaries and their job status on their students' test scores?
On annual standardized test scores, I'm adamantly opposed to it. When it comes to the tests themselves, there's a very high risk. Now, this is what I've seen as a pattern across the country. I don't know specifically about Michigan because I've not been a student of the MEAP, but there's a very real danger that there will be a fundamental misalignment between the learning targets that are tested and the learning targets that are any individual teacher's assigned instructional responsibilities. What I'm saying here is that there's a very high probability of a fundamental mismatch between what teachers are teaching and what students in any particular class, and what's being tested for students in any individual classroom. So because of the fact that there's the danger of that mismatch, there's the danger that the score will misrepresent the teacher's impact. Besides that, this idea of having annual year-to-year changes in test scores as the index of growth introduces the prospect, the possibility, indeed the high probability that a wide variety of factors will influence student achievement and scores on the test that are beyond the control of the teacher. And I think it's patently unfair to hold teachers accountable for those scores under those circumstances. We have better ways to track student achievement in ways that are connected directly to what teachers are teaching, that control for these extraneous factors, and that's what we should be doing.
The Michigan legislature is also looking at a bill I'd like to ask you about. It would offer a third grade reading guarantee. Now, opponents of the bill label it read or fail. The proposal has generated a lot of interesting debate. How does a proposal like this figure into assessments and accountability?
Well, it's more important to talk about how it fits into the learning targets and student development. Setting such rigid expectations in the face of a deep understanding of the great differences in the rate at which students grow, I think is unconscionable. I'm not sure I learned to read until sixth or seventh grade, maybe beyond. I had a pretty successful career, nevertheless. I think we need to accommodate those differences. And if we're going to plan tests in such a way as to hold students accountable for that and teachers accountable for that kind of standard, I think what we're revealing is a fundamental lack of assessment literacy on the part of the policymakers.
I had to search for several minutes on your bio page before I found the word test or testing. Assessment is everywhere. Test and testing, nowhere. Has the word testing become a dirty word, or does it still have relevance?
Testing still has relevance. The reason that the word assessment has become so much more popular is that it includes a wide variety of methods that go beyond mere, for example, multiple choice testing. In the lessons that I teach to teachers and the professional development that we've spent the last 30 years developing and presenting, we tell teachers that they have a variety of methods at their disposal: multiple choice tests, true-false tests, essay or written tests, assessments. We have performance assessments and assessments based on direct personal interaction with students. We have a wide variety of choices. An assessment literate educator knows which methods to use when. And that big domain is the domain of assessment, of which testing is one small part.
That's Dr. Rick Stiggins, an expert in student assessments and the founder of the Assessment Training Institute in Portland, Oregon. He'll be at the MSU College of Education's Re-Envisioning Assessment Conference this Friday in East Lansing.